truth all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us here today as we're studying through the New Testament verse by verse. This is WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We're tuning into God's frequency today. God has got a word for you today. The sermon you're going to hear today dates back to about, a year or two ago. And it's entitled, Is It I? Famous words from not just Judas, but all the apostles. When Jesus was upset. And he said he was troubled in his spirit. And said, one of you is going to betray me. And they all asked him one by one, is it I? Is it I? And miraculously to me, is Judas asked that question as well. That's what we're looking at here today and tomorrow. There's a wrap up tomorrow. And then we'll be back with our last program in the book of Galatians. That will play Wednesday and Thursday. Here today and tomorrow, Tuesday, let's get into this famous text here, going back to the Last Supper.
But when Peter stands up and says, it might be all of them, but it ain't me. I don't care. All you people deny him. Not me. I'd never say that. And he was the only one that had the guts to speak and say what all of us are thinking. Everyone in this church. No, I've known him too long now. I'm too old. I wouldn't do that. I'm not a new believer. Thus and so. No, he says what all of you say. I don't care if everyone else does it. Not me. I'd never do that. That's what he says. He's the only one to speak for all of us because we all think that way. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? But not Peter. He says, nope, it ain't me. Might be all of you people today, but don't look at me. I would never do that. It's the one who denies it is the one who does it. Do you see that? They all asked if it was him except for Peter who said, I wouldn't do it. And the one who doesn't say it is the one who does it. God help us. Where do you stand this morning? If God said that to you this morning, would you legitimately ask him, is it I? Or would you, like Peter, say, oh, might be Jim, might be Bill over there, any one of those bills, 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 bills. Paul, not on your life. No, not me. I've struggled before. I'd never do that. We say the same thing, too, with the Jews in the wilderness, don't we? Parts the Red Sea that one day later they're arguing, and then they all die, 23,000 die in the wilderness, and we'd say, how could they do such a thing? I would never do that. But the Bible says that let him who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Because what happened, and isn't it funny? This is the great tragedy of the Last Supper, is everyone wants to blame Judas. But there are two tragedies on the Last Supper. And you're going to tell me Judas's is worse than Peter's? It's not worse. What Judas did is not worse than what Peter did. Peter did something equivalent to this. He put his hand on a stack of Bibles and he raised his right hand and said, I have never heard of Jesus Christ. Church, don't try that at home. Let's grant that's equally as bad as what Judas did, who didn't want to see him arrested. You think I'm wrong? Read chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. And look at what Judas did. It says those three words on Judas. It says, when he saw what happened to Jesus, he took the money and he hurled it in the temple and said, I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. That was the response of Judas Iscariot. Peter's was, after he did what he did, we read in another gospel that Jesus turned around and looked at him with those steely eyes, but yet eyes of love. Didn't have to say a word. He looked at him, and then he ran outside. Remember what he did? He wept bitterly. That's what happened on this Last Supper. Amazing. Would you guys say that to God? Let me ask a question. How about your denial of God? Let's confront this morning. Do you deny that this could happen to you? Or do you legitimately ask, like the others, Lord, is it I? Lord, am I going to betray you today? Now, this word from Jesus was so unexpected. It's not that they all smirked and pointed to Judas that they knew it was coming. This was unexpected to all of them. They had to look around at each other to see who in tarnation he was talking about. Verse 23, Matthew 26, 23. He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man, indeed, he goes just as it's written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. For it would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? You got to be joking me, right? How could he not know? How could he? That's like saying, on November 21st, 1963, you guys remember November 22nd, 1963. That's like someone saying on November 21st, 1963, one of you most assuredly is going to shoot and assassinate President John F. Kennedy. And that's like Lee Harvey Oswald getting up and saying, is it I? Why answer like that? He had to know as much as Lee Harvey Oswald had to know. But he didn't. He's legitimately asking this question, Rabbi, is it I? So Jesus answered and said to him, you've said it. All right, now let's go back. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. I'm going to read now out of the New American Standard. John chapter 13, let's pick it up. In verse 21. John 13, 21. Everyone ready? Now, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit, and he testified and said, here we go. Hand on the Bible, other hand up. He's upset. He's very upset. Verily, verily, or amen, or amen, amen, lego human, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, most assuredly, I say to you, that one of you people is going to betray me. So the disciples began looking at each other. at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. See, this was just as shocking to them as it is to us. And they lived with him. Now, there was reclining on Jesus' bosom. All right, now get this. This is how they ate there. They would reclining when they were eating. They were sitting around a table, and they were lying on their side. And like sort of the way I watch TV at home, with my head on my elbow, stretched out. That's the way they ate. So his elbow would be on the chest of the next one, whose elbow would be on the chest of the next one. And they sat around. That's why the New American Standard says they were reclining at the table. That's how they ate. Now, verse 23, there was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said, "Psst, find out who that is. Who in blazes is he talking of? Psst, the elbow." He gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us who it is that he's talking about." All right, so Peter's talking to who? John. John's a disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter's elbow and John saying, "Why don't you ask him who it is that he's talking about? Because we don't know. 3.5 years together in the same room. How could you not know that? That's beyond me. I go through boot camp. After 45 days, you know who you're with. People are here in the army. 3 years, you know someone pretty well, don't you, after 3 years? 3.5 years with Judas. No one knows what he's talking about. Not even Peter, who gestured to John and said to him, "Tell us who it is that he's talking about." So he, leaning back on Jesus' bosom, he said to him, said to Jesus, capital H, he says, "Lord, who is it?" Then Jesus answered and said, "It is the one for whom I will dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped the morsel, he took it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now after the morsel, Satan then entered him. Notice the timing. After the morsel, then Satan entered into him. All right, now, next word is key in this whole chapter. The Greek word is the word oun, O-U-N. The King James and the New King James translates it then, but the word should be translated as therefore. Let me read it to you both ways. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Other translations say, after the morsel, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said, "What you do, do quickly." So let me ask the question. If therefore is correct, then who is Jesus speaking to? Satan. Not Judas. Let me read that again. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, because he's not talking to Judas. He's talking to the devil. And the next verse is going to prove that. No one, verse 28, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he said this. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or something else, that he should give something to the poor. But notice how the word therefore changes the meaning of this text. He's not talking to Judas. He's talking to the devil. When he said, "What you do, do quickly," he wasn't talking to Judas. Or let me be more generous and say, not only Judas. Is it I? So what's a person to do? First, understand the problem and our condition. The problem is this. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. The problem is pride and then arrogance on our part. Pride is the problem. Arrogance grows out of pride. Thinking that you can't do this is, well, it's prideful, but that's arrogant. To think that you can't do this is arrogant because you're wrong, because you can do this. You can do this. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Meaning, instead of saying, that could never happen to me, the response needs to be, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? So that's our problem. Forgetting that in my flesh, like Paul wrote, dwelleth no good thing. There is nothing redeemable in your flesh that's going to save you. Nothing. Amen. Let me clue you in on a fact. Sin has got a 99-year lease on the inside of you. And it's free lease. And he's never going away. He doesn't have to go away. He lives in you. Sin abides in you and will forever. He's not going away. But like Paul and God said, you must conquer it. By filling your mind and your spirit with heavenly things. Do not be conformed to this world, sitting at home and afraid to walk outside, but overcome this world by the renewing of your mind. Meditate on this book. Do what the Bible says. Understand God is for you. Renew your mind. All right. Here's the solution as the Lord gave me, because the solution to every problem is always found in the Word of God. Now, if this doesn't make sense right away, spend some time and study this, and maybe it will. This is not just an easy, oh, that's it, understanding. God answered my prayer when I said, how do you want me to wrap this up? What should I say? This is what he told me, and it might take a little more thinking or meditating or praying over to get. The answer God gave to me was Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. This is how it reads. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, by the way, a cedar can be 8 feet thick and 40 meters high. Let me go on. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. That's the verse that God gave me to how to win this. Again, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Meaning, be plant. Well, now I'm going to dumbify this with my own explanation. Be planted in the house of God. Have your roots established here in this house. This is God's house. Wherever two or more are gathered together, that's where he is. Have your roots planted in the house of God, is what he said. And you will flourish wherever God sends you. He could send you out anywhere, but you're firmly planted in the house of God. This church and the people here are here to support you. They'll pray for you when you're down and out. They'll pray for you when you're sick. They'll lift you up. They'll build you up. They'll be here for you. Think of how much better your day is today by coming to church today instead of sitting at home. You be firmly planted here in the house of God, and you can do all things. That's my understanding. God is great. He will give you much more understanding of what that means than my feeble attempt at explaining that. One last verse, then we're going to have communion. And remember, you're never above falling or being incapable of falling. Peter is the great travesty of the Last Supper that we really don't consider. We all consider Judas, and we all say pretty much, I'd never do that. But the great travesty is Peter and what he did. All right. What's the difference? What's the difference between what Peter did and what Judas did? If I say what he did was a terrible thing and it's obvious he did, why is one saved and one is not? I actually have an answer to that question. You can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It says, godly sorrow produces repentance, but worldly sorrow produces death. It's, if you find yourself guilty of that, it's in how you respond is the difference between Judas and Peter. Judas, it said he had remorse. I mean, he ultimately said, my bad. I'm sorry about that. But Peter repented. Peter had godly sorrow. He got on his knees. He wept bitterly. He had true godly sorrow for what he did. And that was the difference between those two. Praise God, the thing is, you can still have forgiveness for that today. If you have done what Peter did, it's still today, my favorite verse, today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like the Jews did in the rebellion. If you find yourself guilty of what he did, as long as it's still today and right now, you can godly sorrow. Let me read that verse to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. You were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of this world produces death. The sorrow of this world, you see it all the time. All these liberals got Jack Kevorkian on their speed dial. That's worldly sorrow. You're going to call some knucklehead to come and inject you up full of morphine and end it all because you had a bad day. That's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is getting on your knees, calling on the name of the man into glory and saying, I repent. I repent. That's the difference between Judas and Peter. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You see, the desires of the flesh is to deny Christ like the one did, or to betray him like the other did. But walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit like Enoch did. Walk in the Spirit. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God translated him. You likewise do the same thing. Walk with God. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh and be planted in the house of God. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira FM 102.3.